From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, presenting Dreaming of the Dance, a look backstage during the Kansas City Ballet's performance of The Nutcracker, available to watch on demand on the PBS app or YouTube.
It is 40 degrees in Lawrence, 40 in Emporia, 46 in Manhattan. It is 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. We broadcast at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. Lots of other frequencies, too, and we're always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. None of that appeals to you. We also have an app. We have a version for iOS and a version for Android, wherever you like to get your apps.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
Stay tuned. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines right at 6:30. Once we get to approximately 6:40, we will learn more about the millions of immigrants in the U.S. who have applied for asylum, who are now in legal limbo. We will also get you an update on what is happening with Nick Reiner. He is still in police custody. Prosecutors filed charges against him today in connection with the death of his parents, Rob Reiner and Michelle Singer Reiner. It's a terrible story, but it is moving through the courts, and we will talk about it coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Arts Center, featuring the Hallmark Movie Party Holiday Touchdown, A Chief's Love Story, December 4th, and The Nightmare Before Christmas Sing-Along on the 18th. Tickets at lawrenceartscenter.org.
Join us Thursday night for a broadcast of KU's Holiday Vespers. This was the 101st performance. Music from Tchaikovsky and Mozart and many, many more. Thursday night, 7 o'clock on your KPR1 stations. I hope you join us. Should be real nice. 38 degrees in Atchison, 48 in Chanute. It is 6:20.
Accident.
The rush for new reactors tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. Morning Edition is what you will hear. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the Raven Bookstore, located at 809 Massachusetts Street, Lawrence, Kansas, offering books, events, store cats, and more since 1987. Information and shopping at ravenbookstore.com.
News headlines are coming up next. It is 38 degrees in Lawrence. The time is 6:30.
Court.
This is NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Republican lawmakers are questioning whether Kansas universities should be changing curriculum as part of their efforts to end diversity programs. A new state law requires agencies and universities to eliminate any policies related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Lawmakers say the recent law did not specifically require changing curriculum at universities. Republican Representative Christy Williams, however, says she is concerned after she learned about a University of Kansas English course requiring students to examine diverse communities and identities.
Not, from my perspective, appear to be something that is necessary and relevant to studying English.
Democratic lawmakers, however, argue that the time and money universities are spending to comply with this law is a waste of taxpayer money. Johnson County residents are pushing back against a potential Overland Park Stadium site for the Kansas City Royals. Jody Fortino has more.
More than 200 residents gathered at a community meeting last week to oppose a proposed new ballpark at 119th and Knoll. Some medical officials are also concerned more traffic could delay ambulances and others from reaching local hospitals. Supporters say the ballpark could boost nearby businesses, but Pia Kruver, a mother who lives in the area, doesn't think shopping will be a draw for visitors.
I think people are going to come and want to go to the game. I don't think they're going to want to come and shop.
The site is also close to Leawood, where Mayor Mark Elkin says he can't support the Overland Park location because of residents' concerns. I'm Jody Fortino.
And the latest NABC Top 25 Coaches poll, which ranks NCAA Division II teams, has ranked the Washburn Ichabods men's basketball team as number one in the nation. The Ichabods had been ranked number two in each prior poll this season. The team has been ranked in the top 10 in the last 19 polls dating back to last year, and in the top five in the last 17 consecutive polls. The Washburn men will face West Texas A&M tomorrow as part of the River City Classic in San Antonio, Texas. Lows around 30 degrees tonight, highs in the mid-50s tomorrow, lows in the lower 40s tomorrow night. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Holiday Vespers. Join us Thursday night on KPR for this year's Holiday Vespers concert. It's a Yuletide tradition, Holiday Vespers, Thursday night at 7 on KPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, and many other frequencies too. We're always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for spending part of your day with us here at KPR. We are closing in on 7 o'clock. If you're joining us on KPR One Stations, 7:01, we get news headlines. That will be followed by Stardate, then classical music. I believe Steve Seal is your host tonight. I wouldn't swear to it, but I'm pretty sure it is. Anyway, music from Classical 24 coming your way tonight on KPR 1. If you're joining us on KPR 2 at 7 o'clock, stick around for Reveal for the best in investigative journalism.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at kansastreecare.com or by calling 785-843-TREE.
Lows around 30 degrees tonight. Winds coming out of the southwest. Tomorrow mostly sunny, highs in the mid-50s. Lows in the lower 40s tomorrow night. Breezy on Thursday. Highs in the upper 40s. Temperatures falling throughout the afternoon. It's 10 minutes before 7.
From NPR News, this is all.
Nuclear reactors fast. How do you do that safely? The rush for reactors on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition, the latest national, international, and regional news. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Up next, news headlines followed by Stardate. Then we have classical music for you. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health's new cancer center, offering cancer clinical trials and comprehensive treatment options, all under one roof. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare.
Mostly cloudy skies this evening, but clearing overnight. Lows down around 30 degrees. Tomorrow, beginning a bit of a warm-up, highs in the mid-50s tomorrow with sunshine all around. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night. We do have a slight chance of rain after midnight. Lows in the lower 40s, highs in the upper 40s on Thursday, but we'll reach that fairly early in the day with temperatures falling in the afternoon. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump says he's ordering a blockade of all, quote, sanctioned oil tankers into Venezuela. The move comes after the U.S. seized a tanker off of Venezuela's coast last week. Trump said on social media that Venezuela is using oil to fund drug trafficking. The developments come after a series of military strikes on boats in the Caribbean and Eastern Pacific. Prosecutors are charging Nick Reiner with murder for the deaths of his parents, Director Rob Reiner and Michelle Reiner. The couple were found stabbed to death in their home in Los Angeles Sunday afternoon. Here's L.A. District Attorney Nathan Hochman.
These charges carry a maximum sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole or the death penalty. No decision at this point has been made with respect to the death penalty.
Nick Reiner publicly struggled with mental illness and drug addiction. Prosecutors say any evidence relating to his mental state will come out during court proceedings. White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles is criticizing Attorney General Pam Bondi's handling of the Jeffrey Epstein case and broadly defending Donald Trump's second presidency in a series of interviews published by Vanity Fair today. She says Bondi mismanaged the Epstein case with talk about a client list sitting on her desk, and she's defending Trump's retribution against people he perceives as political enemies. Vanity Fair's Chris Whipple told All Things Considered that Wiles described Trump as obsessive.
What she means by that is that Trump, while he doesn't drink, he does have this grandiose personality. He believes that there's nothing that he cannot accomplish. And it's reminiscent of her father when he was drinking.
After the story was published, Wiles called it a hit piece. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is urging the European Union to use frozen Russian assets as collateral for a multi-billion dollar loan to help Ukraine recover from war. NPR's Joanna Kakissis reports that EU leaders are set to vote on the loan on Thursday.
Zelensky made the remarks in Amsterdam after intense negotiations in Berlin with Trump administration envoys on a peace deal draft. Speaking to the Dutch parliament, he said the Kremlin cares more about money than the Russian soldiers who die on the front line.
Russians don't count their debt, but they do count every dollar and every euro they lose.
Zelensky claims 30,000 Russian soldiers have died fighting in Ukraine every month. The Ukrainian military does not reveal its own casualties. European leaders are divided over whether to use frozen Russian assets as collateral for the reparations loan, fearing the financial risk. Joanna Kakissis, NPR News, Kyiv.
U.S. stocks drifted lower today following mixed data on the economy's strength. This is NPR News from Washington.
Stardate December 16th. The planet Mercury is shrinking. It's contracted by several miles since its birth, and it's continuing to get smaller even now. Mercury is the closest planet to the Sun. It's also the smallest major planet in the solar system, a little more than 3,000 miles in diameter, about the width of the 48 states. It has a core of iron and nickel, surrounded by dense layers of rock, and it's topped by a thin crust. The surface of the planet is marked by lots of impressive cliffs. The biggest is more than 600 miles long and about 2 miles high. They formed as Mercury lost heat from its interior. As the planet cooled, it shrank. Estimates of how much it's contracted have ranged from about a mile to about 9 miles. A recent study narrowed the range a little bit. It measured the most dramatic features, then scaled that to the surface of the entire planet. The results suggest that Mercury has shrunk by about 3 to 5 miles as a result of its cooling. And when you add in some other causes, the total contraction is about 4 to 7 miles. And Mercury is still getting smaller today. This incredible shrinking planet is quite low in the southeast in the dawn twilight for the next few days. It looks like a bright star, but you need a clear horizon to spot it. And because of the viewing angle, it's easier to spot from more southern latitudes. Tomorrow, the moon stands to its right or upper right. And we have more sky watching tips and much more about our amazing universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Good evening. I'm Steve Seal. Thank you for joining me for Classical Music Tonight. The 16th of December is the day we celebrate the anniversary of the birth of Ludwig van Beethoven. And you always know you're really getting into the holiday season when you start to hear a lot of Beethoven on a particular day in December, the 16th. And so we're going to listen to a rather beloved Beethoven moment coming up in this hour in particular, and there'll be more throughout the evening as well. But first, from Antonio Vivaldi, his Violin Concerto No. 9, La Stravaganza, with Monica Huggett playing violin and Christopher Hogwood leading the Academy of Ancient Music. Thank you. The Violin Concerto No. 9, La Stravaganza, by Antonio Vivaldi, Monica Huggett playing the violin, and Christopher Hogwood leading the Academy of Ancient Music on period instruments, or replicas thereof. I always think of the New Yorker cartoon. Tonight we'll be operating on authentic instruments, or period instruments. The surgeons saying that to the terrified patient. This is from the Polish composer Gracyna Baczewicz.
Thank you.
Overture by Gratzina Bachevich, early 20th century Polish composer, wonderful composer, and the Royal Scottish National Orchestra, conducted there by Thomas Sondergaard.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at kansastreecare.com or by calling 785-843-TREE. And Kaiser Cummings Jewelers. More than 35 years of custom-designed, handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 45 and fair. Wind is variable from the south. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-50s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the upper 30s. It's 45 and fair. For the latest Northeast Kansas weather, keep it here at KPR all the time.
Is today Beethoven's birthday? Well, we've gone a long time in assuming as much, because we do know that he was baptized on the 17th of December, 1770. And so usually, back in the day, as they say, when they didn't have birth records, we would go with the day of baptism being the day after birth. And so Beethoven's birthday, anniversary of his birth, has essentially become December 16th. So it's kind of part of being that it falls sort of right in the middle of when we are doing a lot of kind of holiday classical music. Beethoven's birthday, though, is one that we would be loath to pass up, and you better believe we're going to be celebrating that in a big way every year, and we always do. Well, what would be a great way to celebrate old Ludwig? Probably no better way than this. There's certainly so many ways to choose, so many things to choose from, but hard to beat the fourth movement of the Ninth Symphony, the Choral Symphony, and award-winning performance here with the Minnesota Orchestra and Chorale, Osmovenska conducting along with vocal soloists. Happy birthday, Ludwig.
Thank you. is a turner. Sondern lasst uns wandern, nimmer anstimmen. Betreten feuertrunken himmlischen Einheiligtum. Deine Zauber binden wieder, was die Mutter streng getrennt. Alle Menschen werden Brüder, wo dein sanfter Flügel weint.
Deine Zauber binden wieder, was die Mutter streng getrennt.
Thank you.
On the day we celebrate the anniversary of the birth of Beethoven, the fourth movement finale, the Ode to Joy from the Symphony No. 9, the Choral Symphony, Ozma Vanska, Minnesota Orchestra and Chorale, vocal soloist, Helena Juntunen, Katerina Carneas, Daniel Norman, and Neil Davies.
Hey, it's A. Martinez. Checking the news these days might feel like a lot, but staying informed should be approachable.
So what's the situation there like now?
It should give you perspective.
What to you is the most significant thing that Pope Francis did?
And really, sometimes it should make you smile.
Apparently, there are also therapy llamas. Of course, NPR is all over the story.
This is NPR.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 42 and fair. Wind is light and variable from the west-northwest. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-50s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the upper 30s. It's 42 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
The Many Moods of Christmas by Robert Russell Bennett.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lauren 5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3, and online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 42 and fair. Wind is light and variable from the west-northwest. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-50s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the upper 30s. It's 42 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Sounds like the opening of Jupiter, the Bringer of Jollity, but then you realize it's something else. And maybe that's appropriate that it sounds like that. Because do you recall the Christmas Carol adaptation called Scrooge with Albert Finney? Remember the Ghost of Christmas Present in that movie? Could there be a more Jovian figure than that depiction in that movie? A more wonderfully joyful character. I like life. Life likes me and all that. Well, this is Malcolm Arnold's The Holly and the Ivy, his fantasy on Christmas carols. I'll listen to it coming up in the hour ahead. I'm Steve Seal. Glad to be with you.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump has already paused immigration applications for migrants living in the U.S. from 19 countries the government deems high risk. And today, he put new limits on travel from another 20 nations. NPR's Sergio Martinez-Beltran reports Trump has also paused all asylum decisions.
Trackers at Syracuse University say there are around 2.3 million immigrants awaiting hearings or decisions. They are all affected by this freeze. Some have been waiting for years. Immigration lawyers say this keeps people who may not qualify for asylum waiting around in limbo, while people who may qualify are not getting their cases adjudicated either. President Trump has also ordered DHS to review again the cases of around 200,000 refugees admitted under the Biden administration. This follows the shooting of two National Guard members last month. The suspect is an Afghan national who was granted asylum by the Trump administration earlier this year. Sergio Martinez-Beltran, NPR News, Austin.
More than a dozen states are suing the Trump administration over a federal freeze on funds for electric vehicle chargers. The suit alleges that the Trump administration's halt on funding violates the separation of powers because Congress had ordered the funds distributed, as NPR's Camilla Domonoske reports.
Billions of dollars for EV chargers have been stuck in limbo, unspent, which these mostly Democratic-led states say is unconstitutional. Here's California Attorney General Rob Bonta.
These programs were created by statute. Federal agencies have a duty to faithfully execute those statutes. That means spending the money.
Even, he says, if the president disagrees with the statute. A similar coalition of states previously sued over a freeze on funds for EV chargers along highways. That suit was a success, and those funds have been unfrozen. The funds in the new suit aren't just for highway chargers, but things like neighborhood chargers, heavy truck chargers, and charger maintenance. Camila Domonoske, NPR News.
The U.S. gained 64,000 jobs in November, but lost more than 100,000 in October amid federal cutbacks by the Trump administration. The unemployment rate rose to 4.6%, the highest since 2021. As NPR's Scott Horsley explains, hiring has been hobbled by uncertainty in the economy.
It is a significant slowdown from the pace of hiring earlier this year. And economist Sarah House of Wells Fargo notes it's only a handful of industries that are actually adding jobs, mostly healthcare, some construction. But, you know, factories, financial services, delivery companies, they all cut jobs last month.
I think overall we're seeing a jobs market that is struggling to maintain its current traction. It's still harder for everyone who wants a job to get a job right now.
The Federal Reserve has been worried about weakness in the job market, which is why the central bank decided to cut interest rates last week. And this report more or less confirms that the Fed was right to be concerned.
Scott Horsley reporting. This is NPR News. The European Union is moving to dial back its total ban on cars with gas engines by 2035. The proposal would replace a total reduction of emissions to a 90% reduction. That would leave a little room for cars with internal combustion engines, but most cars would still be all electric or hybrid. Officials north of Seattle in Snohomish County say a person has died as floods continue to cause damage in Washington state. About 10,000 people across the state are still under evacuation advisories. Natalie Akana Newcomb from member station KUOW reports.
Firefighters north of Seattle and Snohomish County were not able to save a person who they say drove past a road closure sign and onto a flooded street early this morning. Rescue swimmers found the vehicle fully submerged in a ditch under 6 feet of water. The situation is also severe south of Seattle, where flash flood warnings are in effect after levees on two different rivers failed over the past 24 hours. And in the middle of the night, the sheriff's helicopter flew over homes and urged people to evacuate immediately. Another inch of rain is expected to fall through early tomorrow morning. For NPR News, I'm Natalie Akane Newcomb in Seattle.
The Chronicle of Philanthropy's annual list of the biggest charitable donations totaled $5 billion in 2025. Topping the list is $2 billion from Nike co-founder Phil Knight to Oregon Health and Science University. Warren Buffett follows with a nearly $750 million donation to his family foundation, which primarily backs women's reproductive health. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. This is NPR.
Nocturne number 9 by Chopin. Good evening, it's Steve Seal and it's Classical Music on this Tuesday evening. And this being the 16th of December, it's the day we have long assumed to be the anniversary of the birth of Beethoven. We know he was baptized on December 17th. The 16th, well, we assumed that was his birthday, and it certainly has been the day we celebrate that. And we can't let such an anniversary pass without ample celebration, and we're going to do that this hour with his Razumovsky String Quartet number 1 and the always peerless Emerson String Quartet in just a moment. Guitarist Rossini Hayward with that lovely guitar arrangement of Once in Royal David City. And if you have ever listened to the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols from Cambridge, England, that comes your way every Christmas Eve, You know, that's the first piece of music that is heard. An interesting point about that is that when that that choir boy sings that solo piece at the opening of the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols, the chosen choir boy does not know he is to be the singer, because the nerves would be too great. The nervousness would just be overwhelming. And so the choir master simply points at that moment to whomever is going to be the appointed singer. Well, it'll be coming your way right here on these airwaves on Christmas Eve. December 16th, the day that we celebrate the anniversary of the birth of Beethoven. And here is the Emerson String Quartet with the quartet number 7, the first of the so-called Razumovsky Quartets.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
String Quartet number 7, known as the Razumovsky Quartet number 1 in F major by Beethoven on this, the anniversary of the birth of Ludwig von Beethoven, played there by the Emerson String Quartet.
For over 100 years, the University of Kansas has celebrated the season with the annual performance of Holiday Vespers. Join us Thursday night on KPR for this year's Holiday Vespers concert. It's a Yuletide tradition, Holiday Vespers, Thursday night at 7 on KPR.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 34 and fair. Wind is from the north. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-50s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the upper 30s. It's 34 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
This from composer Malcolm Arnold, his Fantasy on Christmas Carols, given the broad overall title of one of those carols, The Holly and the Ivy.
Thank you.
Fantasy on Christmas Carols, The Holly and the Ivy, by Malcolm Arnold, Rumon Gamba, and the BBC Philharmonic.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 34 and fair. Wind is from the north. Tonight partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the mid 50s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night a few showers with a low in the upper 30s. It's 34 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump says he's ordering a blockade of all, quote, sanctioned oil tankers into Venezuela. The move comes after the U.S. seized a tanker off of Venezuela's coast last week. Trump says on social media that Venezuela is using oil to fund drug trafficking. Venezuela condemned Trump's threat in a statement, saying the country would defend its right to free trade and sovereignty. Nick Reiner has been charged with murder in the killing of his parents, director Rob Reiner and Michelle Reiner. Steve Futterman reports.
The first-degree murder charges include a special circumstance enhancement because more than one person was killed. L.A. County District Attorney Nathan Hochman says that impacts possible penalties.
These charges carry a maximum sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole or the death penalty.
Hochman said no decision has yet been made on whether to seek the death penalty. Nick Reiner remains in a downtown L.A. jail. At the moment, this is a no-bail case. He could make his first court appearance as early as Wednesday. The district attorney said he is aware of Reiner's history of struggles with addiction and mental health. He said that will come out in court. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles.
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey is calling on people to shop at Latino and Somali-owned businesses. Minnesota Public Radio's Clay Masters reports immigration enforcement has ramped up in the Twin Cities.
The Federal Department of Homeland Security has increased its presence in the Twin Cities, including an additional 100 ICE officers. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey says business is suffering in black and brown neighborhoods.
They're discriminating only to the sense of, are you Latino or are you Somali? Once it's been established that you're Latino or Somali, the detainments that we're seeing right now are entirely indiscriminate.
Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara says his department is not participating in immigration enforcement due to the city's separation ordinance. So far, the agency says at least 400 people have been arrested in the Twin Cities. For NPR News, I'm Clay Masters in Minneapolis.
A statue of a black teenager who led a walkout of her segregated Virginia high school is replacing that of Confederate General Robert E. Lee in the U.S. Capitol. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson called Barbara Rose Johns a trailblazer.
And Barbara, a farmer's daughter from humble means, we see an ordinary citizen who challenged the injustices of her day, whose actions bring this nation a little closer to our founding ideals.
Johns was 16 when she mobilized hundreds of students to walk out of the Farmville, Virginia high school to protest inferior facilities compared to the town's white high school. The next year, the Supreme Court declared school segregation unconstitutional in Brown versus Board of Education based on the Farmville case and four others from across the country. This is NPR News from Washington. The European Union is fine-tuning a plan to use frozen Russian assets as collateral for a massive loan to support Ukraine over the next 2 years. The loan will top the agenda of a Thursday summit of EU leaders. The IMF estimates Ukraine needs about $160 billion. The plan involves using Russian assets frozen since the war began in 2022. Belgium opposes the plan, fearing Russian retaliation. FIFA will sell a small number of $60 tickets for games at the World Cup next year. The announcement comes after fans were outraged about the prices being charged for the tournament. But as NPR's Raphael Nam reports, there's a bit of a catch.
FIFA introduced the cheaper tickets after fans blasted the high prices for the tournament next year. Currently, tickets range from at least $140 for some of the initial games to over $2,000 for the U.S. opening game. And it gets even more expensive for the knockouts, including over $4,000 for the cheapest seats at the final. But the $60 tickets will only be available for fans of the countries that have qualified. And there will only be a limited amount, fewer than 2% of the available tickets for any particular game. In other words, they won't be easy to get. Raphael Nam, NPR News.
Fans of Jane Austen are celebrating her 250th birthday with events in Britain and beyond. Austen enthusiasts gathered for a church service in her home village and festive visits to her house today. Her novels, including Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility, and Persuasion, remain relevant to this day. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org. And Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts.
pianist Sean Mason and his tune Rediscovery, kicking off Jazz in the Night tonight here on Kansas Public Radio. It's from the young piano player's second album out now. It's called A Breath of Fresh Air. And all five of the musicians are among the very finest young musicians on the jazz scene. Tony Glassy, trumpet, Chris Lewis, tenor sax, Felix Mills, home on bass, and Domo Branch as the drummer. I'm Bob McWilliams, and as always, a great honor and a treat to share the music with you tonight. So thank you for joining me. In a little while, some music for the holiday season. We'll hear flugelhornist Chris Davis's version of Victor Herbert's Toyland, and we've got a swinging version of Tim Warfield of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. A little bit later, two from the Vinyl Vault, the great organist Jimmy Smith. Right now, though, saxophonist George Coleman. His album, I Could Write a Book, the music of Richard Rodgers, and so much to choose from here. We'll hear I Didn't Know What Time It Was on KPR. Thank you. His next one is George Coleman, and I didn't know what time it was from his album I Could Write a Book, The Music of Richard Rodgers. This one back in 1998, and George Coleman came out of the fertile Memphis music scene in the late 1950s, and sort of the pianist there, Harold Mayburn, with Jamil Nasser bass, Billy Higgins drums, here on KPR. Chris Davis from an album called This Christmas, the trumpeter and flugelhornist, with his version of the Victor Herbert piece Toyland. That is next, followed up by one from saxophonist Tim Warfield and his album Tim Warfield's Jazzy Christmas. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from LMH Health's new Cancer Center, offering cancer clinical trials and comprehensive treatment options all under one roof. More information available at lmh.org/cancercare. Here's Chris Davis in his version of Toyland on KPR. Thank you.